Romans 8:27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Romans 8:27. Proverbs 30:5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Proverbs 30:5. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. Father, we rejoice today in the fact that we have this wonderful book, the inspired Word of God, that we have the privilege to open our hearts and minds to the truths of these wonderful verses that we have here today. We pray that you'll help us, that we may have an appreciation for the Word of God like which we've never had in our entire lives. Our lives at the longest on this earth are extremely brief, extremely short. And so we pray that we will understand the importance of emphasizing those things which are of major importance in life. And that's our personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and our appreciation for the wonderful words of God. We're here today because of your blessings. We're saved by your grace, kept by your grace, blessed by your grace. We're the recipients of all of these magnificent and wonderful provisions. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and always keep his charge, his statutes, his ordinances, his commandments. If you look on the back of your bulletin today, you will see the German translation. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and shalt always keep his rules and his statutes, its legal regulations and his commandments. You will notice that the previous verse, which was used in the first service today, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. On the screen, you're going to see now an outline of the book of Deuteronomy. I do not want us to be too bogged down in the outline, but I think it's good for us to have somewhat of an overview. We have, first of all, in chapters 1 through 4, Moses' summary of Israel's history, 1407 B.C. That's chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4 of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses' summary of Israel's history. In chapter 4, beginning with verse 44, and going through all the other chapters, all the way over to chapter 31, you have a recapitulation of the law. Date there is 1406 B.C. I trust that I'm speaking slowly enough that if you want this outline, you can copy it. If you miss it, it'll be on the internet. When you get to chapter 32 of the book of Deuteronomy, you find the Song of Moses, date 1406 B.C. Again, chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, the Song of Moses. When you go to chapter 32 and go all the way to chapter 48, you will have Moses blesses the 12 tribes. That's the date, 14 again, 06 B.C. Chapters 32, verse 48. Moses blesses the 12 tribes. I may have misled you there. It is Deuteronomy 32:48. When you go to chapter 33 of the book of Moses, a book of Deuteronomy, blessings of Moses, 1406 B.C., chapter 33. And then the last chapter, 34. Very, very interesting. The death of Moses. Last Wednesday night, we made reference to the fact that you have Moses and Elijah presented in various places in the Word of God. When you come to the Mount of Transfiguration, you will find Moses and Elijah. When you go to the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation and find yourself studying the tribulation time, you will find again Moses and Elijah. This 34th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy is so interesting. The death of Moses. All of you know me well enough to know that I have a lot more to say oftentimes than I say. And then when I get away and talk with some of you after the service, I'm reminded of some things I should have said. And so I am going to say some things that I should have said. Jesus came to the temptation with Satan in Matthew chapter 4. We emphasize that the three temptations that came to the Lord Jesus Christ, every time Jesus Christ gave an answer, this is the humanity of Jesus Christ, He gave the answer with a perfect tense verb. It has been written in the past with the results that are consummated in the past and continue to this present moment. And the truth that has been presented will continue from now on forever and forever. That's the meaning of the perfect tense verb. How I must emphasize the fact that this is a passive voice, which emphasizes that Jesus is the answer. He is the message written. But in His humanity, He is emphasizing the fact that humanity receives. How fantastic for us to know that we, in our humanity, are to receive. We must cling to the Word of God. We must utilize the Word of God. We must know the Word of God. And Jesus knew the Word of God and appreciated the book of Deuteronomy. And out of all the books of the Old Testament, He quotes from Deuteronomy more than He does the other Old Testament books. And that's the reason why we have these three temptations. And I thought that I didn't have any more to say, but I do. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, He answered saying, "It has been written, man shall not live by bread alone." I've already analyzed that with you. That is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. I'll not go into discussion again there. When you go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 7, you find the second temptation by Satan out there in the wilderness. Jesus said to him in answer, "Again it has been written, you shall not tempt the Lord, the God of you," which is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. I'm repeating this only to let you get these verses down. When Jesus Christ was tempted by Satan the third time, His answer came in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. And I did not get into this and discussed it a little bit with John during the break. And this is so fantastic because John gave me some good thoughts that I want to share with you. Then said Jesus to him, "Go." I love this. It's a present, active, imperative verb, a command. And what Jesus said to Satan was, "Go." And John brought it up. get back under the rock where you've been. I like that. You go. And what I didn't tell you was how beautiful this word is. I read it over. I studied it. I analyzed it. And then I came back and all of a sudden things began to be revealed to me. And I said, wow. And the reason it was revealed was because I was looking at the Greek words. And I found out, and it hadn't registered with me. I looked at this, and it is hoop age. And I thought, hoop age? I know you folks are so excited about it, you just can hardly keep your seat. But I want you to see something here. It dawned on me that ago means go. And hupo is a prefix or a preposition which means under. So John was right when he said, get under those rocks where you've been. I don't think I made the impression I should have made. Would you look at it with me? Here it is. H-U-P-A-G-E. Some of you are saying, where do you get that H? Well, that's a marking on top of the upsilon. And I didn't make a mistake there. Upsilon, I didn't. Someone said they had a bunch of children, and they had two children, really, Alpha and Omega. And then they had upsilon. I didn't say that. All I'm trying to do is let you see this. There's a Greek letter here. Upsilon. And on top of it, it has a marking that shows me that it's an H. So it's H-U-P. H-U-P-O is the preposition which means under. Ago, A-G-O, is the word which means to go. And I love it. I just typed it out for you to see. Go. Satana. S-A-T-A-N-A. Can you just imagine how Satan felt when Jesus said, go, Satan. That's exactly what you and I need to be able to say in our prayer in relationship to temptations that come our way. Now, you don't have to be a fanatic. Just do it. Get behind me. Go. Get away from me. I don't need you. You think I need you, but I don't need you. Go. Imperative verb. Present active imperative. Now, please notice, when you find a present active imperative, present tense means continuous action. Active voice, subject produces the action of the verb. All right. For it has been written. And that's the same word again. It has been written. This time, again, quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. A quote from Deuteronomy 6:13. I'll never get through with the next session if I don't move. Jesus loved the book of Deuteronomy. This book, with more than 80 citations, is one of the most frequently quoted books in the New Testament. I've said this in the previous session. I repeat it now. Jesus quotes more from this book than any other Old Testament book. Roman numeral 2. The commandment in this passage of Scripture is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Can I pause for a moment to let you see how unique those words are? The word heart is the word cardia, which means not a physical pump. It means the mentality of the soul. The utilization of your mind. It goes on to say it a little later. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then have a love for your neighbor as you love your neighbor as yourself. What we have here is a quote from Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Would you turn to Matthew 22 and look down at verse 37? And what does it say? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. If you'll look, please, at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. What does it say? I'm turning to it, and it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And then if you'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, I'm turning. Deuteronomy chapter 10, skip down to verse 19. And what does it say? Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 19. It says, so show your love for the alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. Now, what we have here then is an emphasis upon the fact that there's a commandment to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then it says, and I have to go to page 2, which is on the screen for you, and I think that I don't have it here. What did I do with it? I have it somewhere, and we'll just take time out. We surely, it's in my left hand. You folks have a wonderful sense of humor. Roman numeral 3. Also, every time Jesus was tempted by Satan, and that's what we're studying now, out there in the wilderness, he responded by quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. It's amazing to me how wonderful it is that I can just type along and I know what I'm doing and I put the wrong thing down. And so wonderful secretary assured me that I had a little slip up here. And I put down Matthew 3 and it's supposed to be Matthew 4. Did you notice it? She did. Did you notice last Wednesday night when I was preaching, I skipped a few pages and got over in the wrong chapter? There's probably no one here noticed it, and I thought I did such a great job just covering up my mistake. I was dealing with James chapter 1, and I gave you information, and I got into James chapter 2. I was giving you information. I turned to James chapter 3, and I was giving you information. Turned the page, and I was in chapter 5, and I started reading and reading, and boy, I was expounding, and I looked up. No one, I think, knew that I was in the wrong chapter. Did any of you notice that? Some of you are saying, okay, don't tell me. Roman numeral 4. The word Deuteronomy means second law. Or it could be translated repetition of the law. It's good for you to put down in your thinking as we analyze these thoughts from the book of Deuteronomy. Second law. Or repetition of the law. In Exodus, Leviticus, and the book of Numbers, laws had been presented. And now they're being rehearsed. And now they're being expounded in anticipation and with applications to a life that is settled. I want you to see how important it is for me to share with you the thoughts. We discover that the word Deuteronomy means second law, repetition of the law. When you look at the book of Exodus, when you look at the book of Leviticus, when you look at the book of Numbers, laws had been presented there. And now, though, they're being rehearsed. Look at this. They're being rehearsed and they're being expounded in anticipation of and with applications to a life that is settled. One of the things that the preacher desires is for all of us to be settled. Do you see what's being presented here? In other words, we learn and we study, we grow, we advance, and we become settled. A lot of people are not settled. They flip from one thing to the other. They're not consistent in the study of God's Word. They're not anxious to know what God says on a daily basis. And so they're not settled. One of the things that a pastor's ought to desire is for a congregation to be settled. Settled in the Word. Why are we having this new class that John's going to be teaching? It's because we want to help people just to be settled. If you feel like that you need a little bit of settling, then you tell them you're coming to the class, or you be there when the class opens. It's necessary and important to do that. Roman numeral 5. Moses makes a final appeal to God to let him go over the Jordan and into the promised land. My mind is skipping. And I can just take you quickly through the pages of the book of Deuteronomy and take you over to the last part of the book of Deuteronomy. But we have to see something that shows up in the third chapter. So I go to chapter 3 of the book of Deuteronomy. Please turn there and you'll see something. I read this again in the break today. Thought it was quite unique. Deuteronomy chapter 3, 23. Moses said, I also pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as thine? And then verse 25, we're in chapter 3. Let me, I pray, cross over and see the fair land that is beyond the Jordan, that good hill country, and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, enough. Speak to me no more of this matter. Go to the top of Pisgah and lift up your eyes. I almost want to cry when I see this and see, just get a feel of what's happening in the life of this man Moses. Go up to the mountaintop. Lift up your eyes to the west, the north, the south, the east, and see with your eyes. And then look at it. For you shall not cross over this Jordan. Wow. What is the Lord saying? And I need to just tell you, the Lord is saying, you think that's wonderful? What I have for you is far, far better. Are you with me? Can you see it? Oh, you may think that what you have on this earth is wonderful, and that's good. Your family, your house, your possessions, your whatever it is. Whatever you have, you may think it's wonderful, and it is. But Moses, what I have for you is far better. Are you with me? Are you able to follow me? Are you able to sense this? Look at this. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift up your eyes to the west and the north and the south and the east. I mean, you look around. And that's the Greek word, horao, which means take a long look. Look at it from horizon to horizon. Take a long look. Look beyond this point of time. Are you and I looking beyond this point of time? Are we giving all of our attention to this earth, this life, the things that we have here? Is that where our attention is? And we spend 100% of our time thinking about this. The Lord is saying, you can look at the east and the west and the north and the south, but lift up your eyes. I've got something better for you. Could I preach on this? But look at verse 28. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. You know that Joshua is going to follow Moses. For he shall go across at the head of this people, and he shall give them as an inheritance the land which you will see. Now, my friends, today I'm saying to myself and I'm saying to you, let's open up our eyes. I'm talking about our spiritual eyes. Let's open up our eyes. And let's see what's going to be happening 100 years from now. for you and me. I'm trying to, well, E.T., sorry. You're already 100, so let me use 105, 110. Lift up your eyes. Where are you and I going to be 110 years from now? So, the Lord says, charge Joshua. Encourage him. Strengthen him. For he shall go across at the head of this people. And he shall give them an inheritance, the land which you will see. So we remained in the valley opposite Beth Peor. Oh my. Moses makes a final appeal to God to let him go over the Jordan into the promised land. I read it for you in Deuteronomy 3. And he was denied because God had something better for him. Oh my. I know time goes by fast when you're having fun. Roman numeral 6. What's our passage of scripture for today? In 11:1. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and always keep his instruction, his charge, his statutes, his ordinances, his commandments. When you get to chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Deuteronomy, there's an emphasis upon clinging to the word. Obey God's commandments. 1. 2. Teach the children diligently. Could I stop here for a moment? Parents, whatever you do, don't let your little children grow up without influencing them to love God and love His Word on a day-by-day basis. Don't ever let that happen. Don't find yourself with your children grown and married and away from home, and you look back and say, all of those years I could have given them consistently the teachings of God's Word. Don't, please don't miss it. The Bible says, teach the children diligently. Wednesday night we'll be discussing this next point. Shun idolatry. And know that loyalty and obedience to God is of utmost importance. I must hasten because I want to get on down through a couple more major points. Roman numeral 7. The importance of the Word of God is presented to us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Repeated in chapter 10, verse 12. Repeated again in chapter 11, verse 1, 13, 22. The reason why I have little blue marks under this is because I'm telling myself to read these verses. And here I am going to be disobedient to myself because time will not permit this. Importance of the Word of God. Deuteronomy 5, 4 through 9. Repeated in chapter 10, verse 12. Repeated in chapter 11, verse 1. Repeated in chapter 11, verse 13. Repeated in chapter 11, verse 22. Please put these verses down and then reemphasize by Jesus in Matthew 22, 37 and given first place to His teaching. Oh my. We've got to go home in a few moments, but I want you to see these next points. Jesus loved what we have written in the book of Deuteronomy. And so he says, you shall love the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 6:5. He says, you shall teach. Deuteronomy 6:7. You shall bind the word of God. Deuteronomy 6:8. You shall write. Deuteronomy 6:9. What Jesus is saying here is he quotes all of these verses from the book of Deuteronomy. He's saying there's not anything more important than the Word of God. Cling to it. Cling to it. Oh, I must hasten. But let me go back. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Listen to this. And ye shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. The word there is love. And these words which I'm commanding you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you get up. That just about includes all time, doesn't it? In other words, while you're awake, when you get ready to go to bed, talk about these things. Teach them diligently to your sons. Talk with them when you sit in your house. What do you talk about with your children? When you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. What else did he say? You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. Now, I don't know whether you're seeing this or not, but I have to tell you, because I have to tell you quickly, I have to tell you that we have action words here. It says, love the Lord. Teach the word of God diligently. Bind them upon your life so that everything you do in life, when you deal with circumstances, utilize truth. And then verse 9, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house. See those verses? Deuteronomy 6, 5, 6, 7, 6, 8, 6, 9. Roman numeral 8. When you come to chapters 7 through 11, we find the wilderness wanderings. They're presented to us. And that for 40 years, the people were fed with manna and clothed in such a way that the clothes did not wear out. Now, I don't know about your clothes, but I think they wear out. In fact, the wilderness wanderings says their feet did not swell. What was the reason for all this? So that they could learn to trust God and live by His Word. I have to stop. But do you see how fantastic the book of Deuteronomy is? Are you able to see that we're just kind of helicoptering over it and we're picking out certain things for you to be able to see? The major thing here is we're seeing Jesus who loves this book. He loves all the books of the Old Testament. Jesus loves God. Jesus loves you. Isn't that wonderful? And He wants us to properly love and respond to Him. You folks are taking notes, so I'll just wait a second or two. God loved the world so much that Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth and be the God-man for the specific purpose of going to the cross to die for your sins and mine. How fantastic that is. No other person could do this and qualify to satisfy the righteousness and the justice of God. Jesus Christ, pure, impeccable, spotless, sinless Son of God, came to the earth, went to the cross to die for your sins and mine. And that's the reason why He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The people who listen to this by way of the internet, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, God is saying, I love you, and my Son died for you. And you can trust Him right now, and you can have the assurance that heaven will be your eternal home. That's what God is saying to you, and that's what God is saying to everyone in this auditorium today. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful for the fact that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. This tells us beautifully that there's no other way of salvation than through the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many people out there in this world who talk about God, but they do not understand that they need to know Jesus Christ personally. And that's the reason why the Bible tells us so vividly, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as many as received him, that's Christ, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. We pray that at this very moment, there will be those who will trust you, that they will pray this prayer and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be their personal Lord and Savior, knowing that upon the authority of the Word of God, that's exactly what will happen. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not hope so, or maybe so, but shall be saved. Thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.